Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
A little bit of news. The Bears have bolstered their linebacking core by bringing in Manti Te'o into the mix. And according to Charlie Rumeliotis of NBC Sports Chicago, Stan Bowman has met with the cup-winning dudes, the legends on that Blackhawks team, to talk about the direction of the Blackhawks. That's a story that's worth watching and something I imagine we are going to talk a little bit more in depth about tomorrow. Also on tomorrow's show of MLB Network, Alexa Datt is going to be on the show. I love talking baseball with Alexa. She's good people. Her Nationals weren't even close this year, but she got that World Series in before the pandemic. So we'll talk with her about where the White Sox should go and talk about game one of the World Series. Mookie Betts, if you're not watching, Mookie Betts is out here doing incredible stuff. And the Rays are too. Like the Rays are, it's interesting because to me, it's the Rays and the team the Rays could be if they had money playing in the World Series. So it'll be a fun matchup. And with that, I bring in Danny Parkins, who's going to be on his own for 3 hours. Again, Michael McDonald, I'm on my own. And Matt Spiegel is going to join him at 5 o'clock. Hello, Danny.
Hello, Lawrence. Yeah, you know, and not totally on my own. We have some cool guests today. Hub Arkish always at 4 o'clock on Tuesdays going over the Bears film. We normally will go around the NFL at 3. We're doing that at 3:30 today because at 3 o'clock, Ryan Howard is going to be on the show. I love him as a baseball analyst and obviously a massive name. He's doing a really cool thing. He's building a new baseball field, like a Field of Dream style baseball field in Gary, Indiana. And so he's going to come on and talk about that, like philanthropic projects, but also the World Series and all of that. Mike McCarthy might come up. Things not so good for him in Dallas. And, you know, far be it from me to point out.
That's your guy, man.
When I was, yeah, exactly right. But, yeah, you mentioned Manti Te'o, man. He taught me what the term catfishing was. I didn't know that term before the Lene Kakua catfishing story. And I hadn't thought about him or that story in years. He had an okay NFL career. I mean, for a second-round pick, he was amazing at Notre Dame. You know, he thought he was going to be maybe a little better than he was in the pros. But he got a second contract. He's been a
solid pro, and adding him to the practice squad is a good idea.
Yeah, I think, like, I expected more for him in the pros based on how good he was at Notre Dame. I mean, he has started – I can't even do this. He's just an appeared – he appeared in 3 games last year, started 2, appeared in 5 games the year before that, started 2, appeared in 16 games in 2017, started 10, and appeared in 3 games in 2016. So 3 of the last 4 years, he's gotten snaps in 5 or fewer games. Like, he's not good.
I always felt like with him, he was cursed with all of the Notre Dame stuff. Like, he
Definitely.
Was a really good player, but I felt like the amplification of any really good or solid Notre Dame player turns into, well, this guy's an all-timer. Look at what he's doing at Notre Dame. And I think that he was buried underneath the weight of that expectation.
Well, and all of it, too, right? Because, I mean, he was an All-American. He was a Heisman finalist. But then NFL people, they know, right? They actually will watch the tape and do all the measurables. And so, like, but his pedigree said top 10 pick, but then the film evidently said second round pick. But his actual production suggests that he maybe was overdrafted in the second round. And then the Lene Kakua story, man, I was going back. I just read his Wikipedia page in the last 10 minutes just because the news that he was on the practice squad. Dude.
You went down that rabbit hole?
Dude, I didn't remember some of these details, like in terms of how big he – so I remembered the Jeremy Schapp interview, okay? I had forgotten he went on Katie Couric's show.
Yeah.
Like, he went on Dr. Phil. Like, he was a proclaiming his innocence. Like, and then
right.
he did the interview circuit on like, oh man, I was took, and then the person who pulled off the hoax did the big national interview. Like, that story lasted like a month. You know what I mean? Like honestly, like that story.
I felt like that story lasted into the draft. I mean, even now we're talking about it. It's probably his. I feel like there's a part of me that feels some sympathy, right?
Of course.
Empathy for him.
Empathy, yeah.
Because of what happened to him and that he seemed like he was this earnest kid and he was trying to figure it out. And like you're saying, it's a phenomenon that most of us didn't know a lot about. And I felt bad, and it was like he was trying to figure a way out of it, and he took a route that I think a lot of people would have taken to try to get out. So I don't know, like I almost feel uncomfortable because even when I retweeted it, I was like, I shouldn't even retweeted it because here come the people inside the comments that's all they're going to talk about is that part of his life.
Listen, I mean, you get your jokes off if you want or don't. I'm not even doing that. I'm just saying, I mean, it's undeniable that it's the thing that is most associated with him. Like, you're not a bad person if when you think of Manti Te'o, you think of that month where, he was, honestly, like, the news cycle was just different, man. Like, that story doesn't become as big today because just, like, the new, like, there's obviously as many places where you could talk about it, but there's no way a story like that captures our attention with just like all of the constant stream of news from the White House and like, you know, every good or bad, whatever side you're on. But just like, man, news moves like, even faster in 2020 than it did in 2012. And I feel like for 3 weeks, Access Hollywood, Entertainment Tonight, Katie Couric, CNN, you know what I mean? Like it was like a Natalie Holloway type of story. Like when those
right.
types
it's a,
of stories
it's a mystery.
Would pop up. Exactly.
It's a mystery that people felt they felt like there was something that was missing from the story. And so I think that's what kept it in the news stream, that there was an investigative aspect of it. And you add in, like, that's what I mean partially by what I'm saying about Notre Dame. Like, you add in the fact that this is a Heisman finalist from Notre Dame, one of the best players in the country until he ran into Roll Tide. And that I think that was another thing that weighed heavily. Like, you got to see him against, like, legitimate NFL players, and that did not go well for Notre Dame and Manti Te'o. But I think that if the circumstances were similar, I think that it would, even with everything else that we're dealing with, people would be in on it.
Maybe.
From a news standpoint.
Yeah, you know, they'd be in on it because it checks a lot of boxes, right? Good-looking kids, celebrity, high-profile position. The media, if they hate one thing, they hate being lied to. So, like, they're going to chase that down, and, like, they want to be the ones to crack the code, and, like, we both can relate to that. And so, yeah, I'm not saying it wouldn't be a story today, but I had forgotten, like, the hoax incident, as Wikipedia calls it, it's like five paragraphs. Like, you know what I mean? It's
right.
long.
Like, it's layered. Like, there's a lot to get through with all of it. And you're right. Like, the amount of interviews and things of that nature. And I mean, I imagine that if he does get talked to, like, that's maybe okay. I doubt it'll come up. But
no, I don't think so. I think it's, you know, I think it's he was a college kid who made a mistake, and then he compounded that mistake by lying a bunch and all of that. I don't even know what question you'd ask. Like, what did you learn? It's been almost a decade. It's been 8.5 years, but it's just, I don't know. He never did anything as a football player, at least in the pros, to shift the narrative away from, like, that's the thing you're going to remember most about Manti Te'o. And so now he's a Bear on the practice squad, and, you know, Lamar Miller is on the practice squad. Maybe they'll play for the Bears, maybe they won't, but at least there's some names that you know.
I like that they're, whether it's stockpiling kickers, and maybe you don't have to, Cairo Santos with some big kicks over the last couple of weeks, or just trying to find good players or players that you think it can fit what it is that you're doing. I like kind of what the Bears are doing, and it's rare for me to say this about Ryan Pace, what they're doing with their roster building. The only problem is that the place where they need the most help, there is no help. There is no guy that's going to come in and really make a difference on the offensive line. And that's where the struggle lies if you're the Bears.
Okay, so I'm going to ask Hub about this. I've done a modicum of research on it. It's not fully fleshed out.
Okay.
But I'm curious, what would you say if I told you third round pick to the Patriots for Joe Thuney? 27-year-old guard playing out on the playing this season on the franchise tag, looking to get a big contract in the offseason. So good chance it's a rental. But he's a top five guard in the NFL.
I would ask you this question. If you're Ryan Pace or Matt Nagy, maybe not Nagy because he would say yes. If you're Ryan Pace, do you truly believe that your team can win the Super Bowl?
I think the answer...
Because I think they do have a Super Bowl defense. I think they're already there with a defense that is competitive enough to give you a chance to win some of these playoff games.
I agree with you. I agree. The NFC is wide open. We talked about it a bit yesterday. I talked about it more on the show. The NFC is, every team has a flaw. You can run on the Packers. You can do anything you want to Seattle's defense. You just saw – now, Tampa maybe by the end of the year doesn't have a flaw. Maybe. Like, you know, the Bears caught him on a short week with no Chris Godwin, with their receivers injured. Like, maybe at the end of the year you say Tampa's the best team. Maybe at the end of the year we haven't seen the Saints at full strength because of the Michael Thomas injury. Like, maybe you say the Saints and the Bucks are a clear cut above the Bears, but – if you can get to the Super Bowl, you can win the Super Bowl, right? That's how that works. And so the NFC's wide open. Do I think they're a guard away? No. But if you said that they had the money to sign him this offseason, I'd think about it. I'd think long and hard about it. I wouldn't do it if you had no intention of him signing. But even so, you'd get the comp pick for him. So it, to me, that's something, like as I was thinking about it, Patriots probably know they can't win the Super Bowl. They're not going to pay a guard big money in the offseason. Belichick loves to stockpile draft picks. They franchise tag them. That's a dude who I could see being available in a trade, and I could see Ryan Pace being interested.
I don't think that the Patriots have given up just yet. And I think that the move in Miami is really interesting, where they decide to go to Tua after Ryan Fitzpatrick is played pretty well and got them to a 500 record. If I'm the Pats, I'm probably 3 weeks away from making it, 3 or 4 weeks away from making a determination on if I can win that division. And I think that Bill Belichick probably thinks that right now he still can. So
I do too. But don't you think that he thinks that even if they trade a guard?
Probably. Like, I'll just find someone on a lacrosse field and put them in a guard, and it'll end up working out because that's kind of how it works. And he does like to get rid of people before they become a big cost for the Patriots. But I imagine that in Foxborough right now, they're probably being honest about it and thinking, we can still win this division because this division's not great overall, but interesting. And Buffalo has some weaknesses. And now – You saw what Kansas City was doing last night to Josh, and I'm curious to see how that whole thing continues to develop, because I feel like he's taken some significant steps forward, but he also still has some of that stuff where if you play enough zone, he might just throw the ball to you.
You know, it's funny. Rami Makhlouf was in last week, and I know you know him, and it was
put
my first
time.
Put a
roof on it!
It was my first time meeting him. Yeah, we got into that. That's a thought, and he had it. But he, Lawrence, he said, just like offhand, yeah, Josh Allen's Mitch Trubisky 2.0. He'll be benched by the end of next year. And I'm like, that's the worst sports thought I've heard in 2020. Like, by the end of next year, he's going to be getting a $150 million contract extension. And so, like, we could not have been further apart on Josh Allen. And then yesterday, oh boy, a lot of people showing up in my mentions saying, maybe, maybe Rami was right, Parkins. You were a little hard on that guy. Like, I still will bet on big contract before benching for Josh Allen. But maybe, and yeah, listen, it's just a, you know, it's a half-baked thought from a radio host trying to upgrade and do Ryan Pace's job. But I think that the Patriots could say, we're obviously not tanking. We're trading a guard who we're not going to be able to re-sign this offseason. But we know what Super Bowl teams look like. And this isn't a Super Bowl Patriots team, especially in a conference with Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Kansas City. So if we're not winning a Super Bowl, who really cares about division titles when we've got six rings? Let's bring a draft pick in to help build towards the next dynasty. And they don't even need to say all of that publicly, just in terms of like what their internal deliberations would look like. And we know Ryan Pace likes to trade draft picks to plug holes with veterans. So it'd be risky. And I'm not saying you're a guard away from a Super Bowl, but man, I don't know how much longer. Like, the Panthers defense isn't good, and you had no success running on them. And Foles, while he wasn't sacked, was running for his life a little bit. Like, I don't know if I love their chances.
Yeah, there was pressure that caused a horrible interception. So even if they didn't sack him, they affected him.
Right. So the James Daniels injury was big. So, you know, it'd be a huge upgrade going from Rashad Coward or Alex Bars, whoever ends up settling in as your left guard, to Joe Thuney, who's one of the best. So that was one that I was thinking of. There's that Carpenter kid down in Atlanta who's coming up on money soon. Or he just signed for – he's got like another year or two left. So maybe the Falcons, if they're selling, would trade. I think the Bengals are going to do some wholesale selling of their roster coming up a week from Tuesday. But, you know, I would trade a late-round draft pick for an upgrade on the offensive line if I was Ryan Pace.
Trading picks, man. You are speaking Ryan Pace's language. He loves to trade thirds. Like, that's like his favorite thing in the world.
Well, and like, listen, that I would do. You know, you to me, like, you'd have to get an elite player, and so that's why I mentioned Joe Thuney. But if you traded a sixth round pick to Atlanta or to Cincy for an upgrade on the offensive line, I'd have no problem with that. Like, bottom of the roster type, or bottom of the draft type picks, because I think that, you know, this man, 5-1 is rare. You shouldn't waste these opportunities, and
agreed.
So don't trade big time draft capital. We're in agreement on that. But if you can get a starting caliber player for a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick to upgrade your offensive line, like, I would be in favor of that because this offensive line needs some upgrading. But yeah, man, I've kept you too long. I apologize.
No worries. There's talking about ball. I got Josh Allen thoughts. I'll save them for transition tomorrow. We can talk about it because I think I kind of split the difference between you and Rami on Josh Allen. But
okay.
Have fun and enjoy talking with Speegs at 5 o'clock, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, Lawrence. Thank you, my friend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.